You are listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference. Right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Good morning to you, Dr. Leon. Thank you so much for joining us on Adventist World Radio SID Media.
Good morning, good morning. I'm sorry my connectivity is really poor. In case it cuts, just keep on calling back.
All righty, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. We do understand that in Zambia, you're having some issues there with some network and the power outages. But we truly appreciate your time as you chat to us this morning regarding this very important subject, eczema. I think it's one of those most prevalent issues that you find among people. What is the primary cause, though, and perhaps the triggers of eczema? Because it's not like they're always battling. Sometimes they have good days, and then the other days, they can't stop scratching, and you can see that the outbreak is there. Maybe talk to us a bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, the well-established cause of eczema that's been well-documented across the world has to do with genetics. You'd have a patient or a child being born of two parents who have a predisposition towards eczema. We call this a history of atopy.
Okay.
Now when you've got two parents who have an offspring who carry the genes for eczema, it means that the offspring or the children that they have are going to be susceptible to developing eczema. Now you must take note that eczema in its own self simply means a chronic inflammatory skin condition. And it's got various causes, but the main etiological factor has to do a lot with genes. We can get eczema that is acquired from obviously exposure to various chemicals or alkaloids that may cause a reaction to the skin, in which case it then becomes an irritant contact, eczema or dermatitis, depending on which part of the world you are on. But some people prefer to use the word eczema. Others will assume the title of dermatitis. It's more or less the same thing. Just depends whether you're using the American semantics or you are using the British semantics. But to cut the long story short, you're actually looking at a hereditary etiological cause.
And then the triggers, sorry, doctor, to cut you there, but the triggers, because when I've noticed people with eczema, it's not always a bad day. It then sometimes flares up out of nowhere. Is there something that would have triggered it? Is there an allergen or something?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. So what happens with eczema is that, like I said, there are various causes. Some of them are allergic. Some of them are because of stress. Some of them are because of, you know, different things. But what usually happens, I'll give you the situation of Zambia, for example.
Okay.
You know, most people who suffer from eczema tend to have bad days in the summer. And the reason is very simple. You know, in the summer, the air is dry. It's extremely hot. And this dryness worsens one of the signs and symptoms of eczema, which is dryness of the skin. Sometimes some of these people tend to use different lotions, different soaps, and these can be irritants for the skin, leading to a flare-up.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there is also an established etiological association of stress and eczema. Stressful conditions can also trigger the eczema itself. And the stress can be, you know, emotional, can range from emotional or stress on the body coming from a disease. Some of the diseases that people get can actually trigger because of mediators of inflammation that are being produced when someone is sick. And these can actually trigger and push them into a spiral of acute flares.
Okay.
I mean, to cut the long story short, that's mainly the cause. And then also, we know that some people say there is no association with food, you know, the established association. But the actual truth of the matter is this. Look, if somebody is allergic to pork, if somebody is allergic to fish and they take that, that causes an immediate stress on the body. It causes an allergic response, and that may actually flare them up into a spiral of eczema. And then maybe lastly, some people will take certain drugs, and if they are reactive to those drugs, the drugs can cause an inflammation, which then leads and pushes them back into that acute flare.
Yeah, I hear you. And like you're saying, in the summer months, which means in Africa, yeah, you're in trouble if you are having eczema, because our summers get a bit warm indeed. Demographics. We notice that it's usually a childhood disease. Some would even say it's mostly found in children and teens, but sometimes they get to outgrow it. Is that the case? Or maybe that's the perception that we usually just see in the community?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, from my experience, and I've practiced dermatology for over 10 years, I can tell you that it's mainly a childhood disease. And you know, children and people do outgrow it. And I think my postulation for that is because, you know, over time, they get a certain level of tolerance, and they get used to living with this condition, and the body begins to adjust to these mediators of inflammation, and they know how to better look after their skin. They know how to better avoid certain triggers. So over time, they outgrow it. However, I must say, there is a different kind of eczema which I've come across, which begins late in adulthood. And this kind of eczema which begins late in adulthood is quite stubborn. This one they will usually carry with them to the grave. Of course, there are associations, like we normally tend to see it a lot in people who are immunocompromised, those who are HIV positive, and those who have predisposition for certain genetic disease. But you'd find that the ones who develop it later in life usually struggle with it compared to a child who develops atopic dermatitis or eczema in infancy, and then they clear it out later.
Now,
that is not a myth. That's actually correct. That's quite true.
I hear you. Now, attached to that, especially the one that comes through when they're still children and in their adolescent years. When you look at statistics, they are saying that apparently since the 1990s, in fact, almost the past 30 years, it's been on the rise, at least about 2% going up. Why is that the case, that we are getting more and more cases of prevalence of eczema?
That's a very good question. So you see, one of the reasons for this, and I know it's neither here nor there.
Okay.
But one of the reasons is what we are eating these days.
Okay.
You know, the food these days has become so refined. There are so many preservatives, so many chemicals, you know, so many, you know, additives to our food. And indeed, these, you know, chemicals and all these things that we're using to fortify the genetic modification of food, all these things are causing a great impact on the problem, you know, disease itself, because they not only activate these allergens which the body cannot cope with, but they also dampen the immunity to be able to fight with them. The other thing that I would say is that if you look a long time ago, many years, let's go back, maybe say, for example, 40, 50 years, you wouldn't have found, you know, this kind of lotion. It's a Q10, it's this, and it's got that, and it's got this, and it's got that. Our mothers, our fathers in those years, they actually used to use simple petroleum jelly.
And they're done.
You know, and they're done. And we didn't have these problems. I mean, others would, well, I don't know how old you are, but in my time when there was no money for lotion, we actually used cooking oil as
okay.
Yeah, it's quite funny, but we actually used, my mom used cooking oil on us, you know. I mean, that dates back in time immemorial. But you find out that some of these cosmetics that we are using now, are also a great contributing factor to the rising incidence and prevalence of eczema, because like I said, some of these things are really not meant for our skins, you know, and they are actually increasing this burden. We also know that primarily in children, we have seen when you come to countries like, for example, the United States, you'd find that the prevalence there is quite high. And if you look at, for example, dietary habits, if you look at lifestyle, if you look at all those things, you find out that they are a major contributing factor. Whereas when you then come to other countries that have sort of maintained their diet over the years, more a plant-based diet, more healthy kind of lifestyle of eating, you find that the prevalence there is a little bit lower. I'm not saying absolutely lower. Like I said, genetics also play a major role in some of these things. Yes, but you are absolutely right. There is a slight an increase worldwide, really. There is an increase.
Well, Doc, thank you so much for that. Sorry to cut you there, but our time has run out. But I wanted just maybe in the next minute or so, as we wrap it up, just to touch a bit on prevention and cure. Is the eczema curable, where you can get rid of it, or is it something that they have to deal with, especially like you're pointing out that the one that you catch in the adult years is a bit more stubborn? Talk to us about the cure, but also which is more important, can you prevent one from contracting this disease?
Okay, thank you very much. So in brief, currently there is no cure for eczema. There is no cure. However, all the treatments that we give are aimed at the control of the disease. So, like we said, if you want to prevent eczema, you need to identify and know what triggers it.
Yes.
So, if I know that my eczema is triggered by stress or heat or certain kind of food, the first thing to avoid it. You avoid the trigger.
Yeah.
Whatever triggers it, if you can avoid it, avoid it. The next thing that you need to do is that, we're not so good at moisturizing. Now, I'd like you to, I don't know if you have a paper with you nearby. I'm just going to give you a test that could help the listeners. If you've got a paper, I'd like you to take a white piece of paper and just rub against that piece of paper. The sound that you're going to hear from that, I'll do it for you quickly. So you hear this?
Yeah.
Can you hear this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you touch your skin and you rub the same way on your skin and you hear that pepper-like sound, then just know you are not moisturizing your skin adequately.
What sound must come out, Doc?
So it's more like you're rubbing a paper. So that white... Can you hear that?
Yeah.
That sound. If you rub your skin, you rub your hand, and your hand sounds like you're rubbing a paper, then know that you're not moisturizing enough. So one of the mainstay treatment, or not really treatment, or one of the interventions for eczema is indeed for you to actually use emollients, or rather, if I may put it, lotions that help you to trap moisture in the skin.
Okay.
When your skin is well hydrated, even if you rub the skin like that, you fuzz your skin, it does not give out that paper-like sound. Then you know you've got good moisture content in the skin, and that sort of like controls the dryness, which actually worsens the problems morbidity of eczema. So number two, ensure that you moisturize adequately. The third thing that you need to do is you need to also ensure that if, let's say, for example, here's a child who is moisturizing adequately, the child or the adult is avoiding the triggers, and still the eczema is not under control, then we go to the next step. And the next step would be to use certain drugs or creams that we use, like Elidel in South Africa. You've got something called Elidel Protopic or Tacrolimus as the generic name. So Tacrolimus is an immune modulator which helps to actually, let me say, in the simplest term, control the inflammation that that happens with eczema and more so the flares.
Okay.
So when you use that drug and then you still do not get a relief, then you go to the next level. And this next level may involve the use of systemic drugs. I know one of the big questions would be, is there any room for corticosteroids in eczema? As a general rule of thumb, corticosteroid is a no-no for eczema. It's a no-no because it causes problems later on in life. However, when the flare is so bad that this child is seriously in trouble, there is room to use a steroid for a short period of time, very short period of time, just to control the flare so that your emollient and your protopic can then take over. In other centers where biologics are available, if again the eczema is not controlled and you are really, really in serious trouble, you can use what we call biologics, which maybe I wouldn't want to discuss right now, because by the time you are getting to the level of biologics, you know, it's systemic drugs that you use that will help you to control the eczema, more like in psoriasis. Some of the injectables that we use, they can be used in eczema as well. But remember that the take-home message from me is that understand what your trigger is.
Yeah.
If you can avoid it, avoid it. Make sure that your skin is well moisturized. Avoid the heroic thing of trying out every lotion that's released on the market. You know, stick with what is the devil you know is better than the angel you
certainly
don't know.
And the simpler, and then, the better.
You know, if it gets worse and it's just too much, then you can seek medical help for systemic medication, which should be able to help you control your disease.
Certainly. Well, Doc, thank you so much for your time this morning. I think we have learned a lot, and I pray that somebody listening out there might have just received the relief that they were looking and seeking for. Thank you so much, and have yourself a great day, and to wish it again next time.
And to you, cheers. Thank you very much. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You are listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference, right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.